What's up, everybody? This is Clark Schmidt here, pitcher for the New York Yankees, and you are listening to the Boys of 161st Street, the greatest Yankee podcast in the world. Thank you guys for tuning in.
All right, welcome on back to the Boys of 161st Street. Yankees are, I was about to say rolling, but they're not doing bad and not doing amazing like the Rays are doing Rays things right now. But the Yankees are winning series. They currently are.
They're 3-0.
Huh?
We're 3-0.
Series-wise, 3-0 series-wise. Good game tonight. We're recording this after the Tuesday night game against the Guardians. Took the game
the Tuesday night route.
Route of the Guardians. Cole, you know, a little shaky start, but he found it like great pitchers do. But good start to the season. Today we got Hot or Not on the docket. A little bit of an injury report roundup. A little bit of chit chatter about our man Oswaldo. But how are we feeling, boys? Today's episode is presented by TickPick. If you are going to any games in the near future, I know the Yankees have a homestand coming up. Use code 161 to get $10 off your tickets. There's no fees either, so you're basically getting more than $10 off. You get $10 on top of the no fees, which if you go to StubHub, SeatGeek, and all those nonsense things, you're paying out the ass on your ticket fees. So what you see is what you pay.
Actual data here. Going to the RBC Heritage this weekend, lovely little golf tournament, $108 in fees on StubHub. You can fact check me. I just looked at it. $0 in fees on TickPick. After everything comes out to like $50, $60 savings. So
not bad. So yeah.
Did you use code 161?
I've already used my code 161.
Oh, yeah. It's only for first timers.
Got you there.
Yeah. Actually, I used it on my 17th burner account to keep getting 161.
So listen to that TickPick. This episode is also brought to you by Athletic Greens. I take Athletic Greens in the morning, every single morning, get my smoothies straight up. It tastes amazing. I've been doing it for about a month now. And it's just, I feel a lot better. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. Athletic Greens is great for recovery. I do actually take mine after working out sometimes as well, if I forget to do it in the morning. And it gives you a little boost after or before, whatever you want to do. I know, Damon has been doing a lot. You know, we talked about Chandler before about hitting 40 miles per hour while snowboarding, but I know Damon has been playing a lot of golf recently. So would you say that this has taken a few strokes off your game, Damon? Maybe the short game or the hitting more fairways, potentially more greens?
Oh greens. Wow. See what you did there. Hey, I'll tell you what. Me and Luke played the other weekend. I took my Athletic Greens before we played, and turns out I beat him. So guess who didn't take their Athletic Greens in the morning?
Just I did, actually, but Damon took more of them. Damon's body's a temple. But if a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving 1 year free of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/161. That's athleticgreens.com/161. Go check it out. So, to start this episode off, I want to get a vibe check a little bit. How are we feeling about, you know, opening day? The hoopla from opening day is behind us. We're officially into the season now. About 10 games in. How are we feeling?
I feel good. Not amazing. I feel good. I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to tell myself as the resident pessimist is that helps on the way, supposedly, with Bader and...
Whoa, don't jump the gun. Rodon. I got the injury report. But taken.
Okay, I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. That help is supposedly on the way. We'll see whether or not that actually happens.
Yeah.
But we're winning series. That's the most important thing. There's a lot of shit. People are frustrated because the way that things happen is the exact same as years past, and I get that. I just think it's too early to actually freak out or be mad. Like I'm just gonna ride
the
wave.
What do you mean by that?
And like, look at yesterday, like punt lineups and stuff. Like, call it a punt lineup, don't call it a punt lineup. But when you have like Hicks, IKF, and shit like that just back to back. You have IKF playing center field. You have
which I don't think he's looked Domingo bad in center field, but point taken.
He's looked fine, but then you have Colton Brewer relieving Domingo Germán and Ian Hamilton or whatever the fuck his name is relieving him, which it, to their credit, they did a good job. It's just stuff like that that frustrates people. That's not why the Yankees lost yesterday. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. Another point that pisses people off. It's seeing a lot of the same issues. They haven't gotten to a point where they're ugly and people are like, oh my God, like the season's collapsing. But it's frustrating, and I get it when, like yesterday, leadoff triple from Glaber, pop up, KK. I mean, if that's not the Yankees of the past 5 years, what is? It's frustrating. I get that. But overall, I'm happy.
Yeah. The only thing I'll add to that is very happy to see some players come out to a hot start that we were counting on in the beginning. I know we're going to get to this a little bit later. But Gleyber Torres doing his thing. Gerrit Cole
Thunder here, dude.
Doing his thing. I'm
bringing hot
just,
or not
I
back
said,
to the first time.
I know. I was lightly mentioning it. God that damn. People who we have been counting on for and wanting to perform have come out hot. But I do agree with Chandler that there's been way too many signs of some repeat trends over the last few years. Again, I think it's too early to kind of go down that route and say that it's the same thing as last year, but there are some signs of those like trends repeating, and I just hope that we get in front of that and it doesn't continue to snowball into the rest of the season.
So what I'll say on that is, you know, we expected that to happen. The season's coming, starting. Even the players that are here, like Rizzo and others, they're coming in with injuries. So like we expected some days off. Also, even if they didn't come in with injuries, we expect some days off. And Boone's been saying that in his press conferences and stuff like that. Like, that's what I'm going to do, so don't be shocked. That's why the Yankees do it, and they're coming in with some injuries. So, you know, not only the ones that are on the field have injuries, so you have to be careful with those guys who have an injury history, but I guess I'll just use this time to get into the injury report as well. You got basically all of our other amazing people, like Sevi Bader, Rodon, Trevino. That's Lou Trevino, not the other Trevino. I'm blanking on his Jose Trevino. I just forgot his first name for a second. And Tommy Canely. So, I mean, I'm expecting that to happen. I think it was Calhoun was batting fifth the other night. And, you know, in classic fashion, you know, all the first four guys get on, do their thing. And then that what a rally killer that is to have Mr. Calhoun come in, who hasn't been awful, but you get the point. So, getting into the injury report, Severino threw a bullpen, 25 around pitches, and he looked pretty good. So he's on the way. Bader took full machine batting practice. What's that?
For Sevi, did you see the other part of that bullpen report that he developed a splitter?
No, I did not. I saw that he was throwing all of his pitches.
Toying with it. Yeah, apparently he's been throwing all of his pitches with and lightly toying with a new splitter that he hasn't decided if he's going to deploy in games or not. But
the time to do that? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the most stressful pitch on your elbow.
Is it time to introduce a splitter?
Yeah, that is. Like, I think the maybe worst pitch to throw for
focus
your
on body. Maybe focus on trying to stay on the field a little bit longer and not develop a pitch that's going to ruin your entire arm again.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. If there's a guy, I mean, hard throwing guy, mix in a little splitter. If he can do it, like the 11 games that he's going to start this year, that splitter is going to be nasty.
I'm glad you're on. I'm not glad about it, but I'm happy that you're seeing the light of what to expect from Luis Severino.
Yeah, he hurt me one too many times. I sat here and defended him for the last 2 years, and then he misses the first like.
This is the one that did it.
Season. Yeah. Because, I mean, the other ones like Tommy John and all those were kind of bunched together, and I get that. But then, you know, this one was just like, what are we doing? But to my point earlier of stuff that's kind of pissing people off because it's a repeat of the same injuries. Like, we can't go a day without a new injury or an injury setback or anything like that. Again, it's not time to set the panic, you know, hit the panic button, set the alarm, whatever. But I understand the frustration with it. I'm like cautiously optimistic with the start of the season, like I am every year. You know, if we start off hot, then it's like, woo, cool. But I mean, it's not like we're running out some vastly different team than we were last year. It's got a lot of the same flaws. So I guess it's just like happy that we're doing well, but that's in the back of everybody's mind. And I understand frustrations. It's easy to overreact to a game like yesterday where you leave every person on base every inning and it's just so fucking aggravating. You have Bieber on the ropes and can't push anything across. And I know I'm backtracking here, but I'm just injury thing. Just, you know, that's why like it's so hard to be like, holy shit, World Series back on. I'm so pumped. Like, be excited. But everybody's got it in the back of their minds. Like, well, what's going to sell me this year? What's different than with maybe it's Volpe. Maybe it's Oswaldo Cabrera starting every day. Maybe it's Peraza later in the season. But what is that thing that's going to sell us that this year is different? Sorry, get back to your injuries. I apologize.
So Bader took full machine BP. That's exciting to see. I mean, he apparently looks good. If all goes well for the rest of the week, then a rehab will start next week after that. So that's that to me, of all of these injury news, I mean, obviously the Seve and the Rodon, which I'll get to in a second, are important. But I really am looking forward to having Bader back locking down center field and just being another, you know, you see a Bader and you see a Volpe in the back end of the lineup probably. I know Bader was in the middle of the heart of the lineup during the playoffs because he was tearing the cover off the ball, but I expect him to be in like the 7-8 spot along with Volpe. So you get guys like that, and then you get a guy in DJ leading off if we do stick with that. I know we probably are because that's what DJ is, but we know we had that conversation about potentially shifting Volpe to the leadoff spot, which right now doesn't look so good. But if you have Volpe and Bader in the back end, and we talk about the double leadoff a lot, that's a great duo to have a chance of having on the base paths with a guy, a high contact guy with runners in scoring position in DJ coming up to knock them in. So I love that. Get a lot of hit and runs that way, potentially. Like that I'm excited for. Out of all of the people on their way back, Bader excites me a lot in that sense. Rodon had back tightness, which delayed his last live session, but the elbow looks good, and that's what he was actually on the injured list for. So not really excited to see the back tightness, but it doesn't seem like it's a huge deal. Any comments on any of those two players, Mr. Chandler and Mr. Damon?
Damon?
I mean,
you need to force it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing additional that you said.
Pass. Chandler, anything additional, or should I move on?
I'm frustrated about Rodon. I think everybody, like, hopefully it's not a big deal, but it's frustrating. Bader, I'm curious who you guys think will get sent down when he gets called back up.
Probably Calhoun.
Or whenever he's healthy.
Yeah, probably Calhoun. I mean, he's the odd man out, even though he's had like a good game or two good games.
Especially how Franchi's hitting right now, which we'll get to in a second on the hots. But I think Calhoun probably.
I've seen a lot of people, not a lot, but I've seen a couple of people say IKF, which is interesting.
I don't think that's true whatsoever, though.
He's basically being used solely as a third baseman and outfielder right now. Like, so you don't need another outfielder. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't think it'll be IKF either, but I saw somebody talk about it.
Boone loves IKF. I mean, to count towards IKF here, he has been doing exactly what he's been asked of. I mean, he's not really hitting the cover off the ball. He's actually pretty terrible at hitting, but fielding, he's doing fine. He adds that little element of being able to plug and play if you need to give another guy a day off in the infield, whether it's third base or shortstop. He can do both of those things. So I think that added element gives him more of a spot over a guy like Calhoun. And we know he can run the bases decently well. So I don't see that happening. It's definitely probably going to be Calhoun.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think going back to Rodon real quick, the only thing I'll say on that is I just hope we don't get another situation year after year where these injuries just become bigger and bigger than they actually are. I can't stand hearing that there's a setback and he's going to be, you know, three more weeks, going back on the IL, and he's just never fully healed because this injury is just like he's dealing with that thing again.
Montas?
And no, I mean, Montas is one example, Montas. But just like, yeah, sure, like a Montas or literally any other person who's ever been injured in the Yankees before. Like, I'd rather just them be straight up and just say, hey, this guy might be out and we need to fucking do something about it. Because I just hate these lingering things that are never going to be resolved with.
Yeah, and that's
just
same,
goes back, and that goes, just goes back to what happened last year.
Same goes with Bader, too. Like, he's an injury-prone guy. I want him to be fully healthy before coming back because there's no sense in bringing them back early when we're doing just fine without them. And we'll get into a bunch of team stats as well in the Hot or Nots that we're actually doing pretty fine without the two of our aces coming back, Rodon and Seve. So going down this list, Lou Trevino bullpen, he's doing well, and Canely well into his throwing program as well. So two more bullpen arms along the way. Again, I said the starters are doing well without those two main guys, but these are two huge guys for the bullpen, and the bullpen is also doing pretty well too. So actually very well. So without further ado, I think we can get into Hot or Not here, because that is the meat and potatoes of this conversation. Who wants to do the hots? And for those who are just checking in with us this season, welcome in. And Hot or Not is basically, I'm going to spit out stats of recent for the purposes of this one. It's going to be stats from just year to date because it's the first one of the season. But we try to do it around once a week to give a good enough sample size to take a look at the guys that are doing well and the guys that are doing bad. Do we think it's going to stick for the rest of the season? Is it real or is it fool's gold? And obviously, you know, spoiler alert, Judge is on this list, but the purposes of this segment aren't to point out the guys that you expect to be there. It's more to, you know, poke holes at the Franchy Corderos of the world and do we think this is legit, and can we continue that? Or will he continue it, or is he going to come back down to earth? We've seen a lot of guys run through this list and quickly find their way on the not list the week after. So, and that's baseball. It's a fickle, fickle game. So who wants to do the hots?
I'll do the hots.
All right, Damon.
Okay.
Step up to the plate, Damon. All right. We actually don't have the sound queued up yet for the season, but we're actually thinking about choosing a different sound for the 2023 season. So stay tuned for that next week. But first up on the hot list is none other than Gleyber Torres. He this season sporting a .387 batting average, .537 on base, .710 slugging, good for a 1.246 OPS, .249 OPS plus, 5 stolen bases, 2 homers. You buying it, Damon?
I'm buying it. I need to see this play for the rest of the month. I'm going to super buy it. So
super buy it. Okay.
To super buy it. But I'm happy, but I'm still skeptical.
Skeptical I am too. We'll get into that conversation in more detail after we run through the rest of this list. Aaron Judge, like I mentioned before, 4 homers, 7 ribbies, .333 batting average, 1.1 OPS, .208 OPS. Plus, I'm not even going to give you the opportunity there, obviously, Judge, but it's just good to see him continue. And honestly, this is probably going to be the only time that he's on this list for the rest of the year, unless he gets super duper cold, because we just expect that out of Judge. And we want to shed light on other areas of the team that's worth talking about, because we could just sit on a soapbox for days and be like, oh, Aaron Judge is so good. But it's good to see him picking up where he left off with everything, the home runs and the batting average. And I guess if you guys want to say any words on Judge, since this is probably going to be his only time on this list, unless he hits like 10 home runs in a week.
I am pleasantly surprised that nothing has changed as of yet. So that's about it.
I got nothing. He looks like everything that was promised.
Not even promised. Everything, but
you know what?
Everything that happened last year, not even a step down whatsoever. It looks like he's like in prime home run chase mindset. It's just fantastic to see. Franchy Cordero. .294 batting average, 3 home runs, 1.074 OPS, 195 OPS plus.
Yeah, like I it's a cool story right now. I'm obviously super, like, I love watching him play. It's super exciting. You know, do I think he's going to be the guy who brings the Yankees throughout the entire season and brings them up the whole season? Probably not, but I think it's a fun thing to watch right now, and I hope it continues. But I think as we get more healthy, I don't think he's going to be in the lineup all the time. So I'm not buying, but I am very happy watching him at the moment.
So sell, but yeah, I get it. Wanted to get into both the starters and relievers, like I mentioned. So starters as a whole, without Seve and Rodon, obviously, it's interesting to look at them without them, and same with relievers without Canely and Trevino. So where they rank in the entire league in these categories: ERA, third; FIP, seventh; WAR, seventh; K through nine, eighth; home runs per nine, ninth; innings pitched, 26th, and strikeout to walk ratio, seventh. You buying this success outside of Seve and Rodon?
Well, I think that this list doesn't include Seve and Rodon is even more of a buy. I think that because we've done this without them, just kind of makes it that much more promising. I mean, Cole's been exactly what we have asked for. Schmidt has shown signs of, being a good fifth starter. Nothing that is solidified yet, but he's been showing signs that I can get behind. And I got some young arms who are definitely surprising us. And Nestor continues to be that pumpkin that never hits midnight. So I'm, I love fucking watching Nestor play, and he continues just to be fucking dominant. So, yeah, I'm buying them, especially for the fact that we don't have the two guys who are missing, who are huge additions to the rotation.
All right, more on that in a second. Then relievers, ERA, they're fourth. Batting average against, their seventh. Strikeout percentage, their first. Walk percentage, their 13th. Strikeout to walk ratio, first. WHIP, seventh. FIP, second.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I've been very happy with how the bullpen's been playing, so I'm going to buy that as well. I think there's a couple people who we will probably get into who I'm a little skeptical about, but I mean, overall, I think we've been fucking doing pretty well.
So let's start there. Who are you worried about?
What's up?
I said, let's start there then, because that's the end of the hot list. Who are you worried about?
Sorry, it cut out for a sec. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't want to say the two people who Chandler love, but, you know, Mike King and Loaiza are not the brightest bunch so as of the beginning of this season. I know that they're
talking about
big
their
games.
IQ like that, Damon.
I'm just saying they haven't had the hottest start. I know that Mike King's coming off of a major injury. And Loaiza hasn't quite figured it out. I don't know what's been going on with him.
He's also on the IL.
I know, but
before that,
but like again, before that, you know what I mean? Obviously there was a reasoning behind why he wasn't doing so well, but I'm trying to get at that. You know, these are guys who, when healthy, are fucking huge parts of the bullpen, and we expect a lot from them. Then we have big roles for them throughout the whole season. So we hope that they can get healthy and become like what they were before, but they haven't so far. And that's a big worry. Those are two big worries.
If I may, with Michael King, since his first game where he gave up two runs, he's thrown 3 1/3, given up no runs, 0 walks, and 4 Ks.
Which is great. So, I'm just saying, again,
so he's not the brightest bulb in the bunch.
I'm saying it's still great. But we're talking about buying. Like I'm going to be devil's advocate here and say he's coming off an injury and that I need to see more for me to be super confident that the injury's not going to be an issue. That's all I'm saying.
It's also a way of totally saying fair. You could be lenient with him because he's coming off an injury and you got to give him time.
Yeah.
You could play both sides here.
Could be seen both ways. I'm just leaning a little more towards negative side.
We need to talk about Colton Brewer. Came in last night in an absolute mess, which Domingo Germán left him with 5 walks, 3 innings. Just a really, really shit show of a fourth inning. Colton Brewer came in, limited the damage, didn't give up any runs, immediately got a ground out, and then I think it was a bases loaded double play. Bases loaded, got a ground out, and then a double play. So, hats off to Colton Brewer. He's looked really good so far. I mean, he's a 30-year-old journeyman reliever. I don't know how long that will last. But
I was about to say, do you think
right
that's
now,
enough for him to stay on when Trevino and Canely come back up?
Yeah, I think he'll be on. I think Ian Hamilton might go. I don't know much about him. But, I mean, Colton Brewer right now has 5 innings pitched, hasn't given up a run.
Really big sample
two,
size.
Struck out two. I mean, it's as big of a sample size as you can have this. He's gotten as many innings as Michael King. Like, they're relying on him. For this point in the season, they're relying on him a lot more than I would expect for somebody that, for sake of argument, call him a no-name guy. He's not a high pedigree reliever by any means, and he's coming in and getting a lot
of
meaningful innings.
He's a no name.
I mean, I don't want to be a dick. Like, he's been around the league for a while, but you know, he's doing everything we could have asked for and more, and getting kind of thrust into these major innings with Eliza being hurt and King coming back from injury and, you know, Canely and Trevino hurt. Like, we were not expecting in January for Colton Brewer to be coming in and throwing a lot of meaningful innings to start the season. He is. He's doing a damn good job. So hats off to him. I don't know if it's sustainable, but even if he can keep up like a fraction of this, I'm happy.
Yeah, and I think the same story goes for both the starters and the relievers, is there are two big pieces. I know there's two bigger pieces for the starters that are missing in Seve and Rodon, but, I mean, relievers, Trevino and Canely are just as important to that staff as I think Rodon and Seve are to the starters. You can make that argument just because of the positions that they hold in the high leverage innings in a game. I know it's definitely more important, and more war can be provided from the Seve and the Rodon side of things. But I mean, in terms of, you know, a guy gives up an early start and he gives up a couple runs, gets pulled in the third, you need the guys like Canely and like Trevino to limit the damage there. So I'm very excited for those guys to come back, and I'm happy to see them progressing. But like I was saying, same story is going on with both of these. They all, each of these categories, which are all the main categories essentially, are within the top 10 except for walk percentage. That's about middle of the pack, but strikeout to walk ratio is first, so I kind of throw that out the window. Maybe just don't walk as many guys. I don't expect that to get much better with the addition of Trevino and Canely coming off injury. It's probably going to stay around the same. But even with the starters too, I mean, ERA, all these things, all within the top 10. The only thing that I'm slightly, I wouldn't say concerned, it's just something to note, is that the innings pitched is 26th. We're not getting a lot of length out of our starters, which I want that to increase. But more of the reason why I think Trevino and Canely are important, because right now our starters aren't really getting us length. And that's probably more so due to the fact that a lot of the pitchers we have starting in our rotation right now are young, and Clark Schmidt and, I mean, Brito shoved, but those kind of guys are getting a lot of meaningful innings right now, and they're not really
Domingo Herman,
guys like that, guys that aren't going to be household names, hopefully, for the rest of the year. Maybe they are, because guys coming off injuries not really going to go very long. So, yeah, just happy with both of those, and it's only going to go up from here. And I would definitely buy both of those things. I'd super buy them with the expectation that those guys are going to come back. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about Gleyber Torres. Obviously, he's the heart and soul of the Yankees right now. He has a higher WAR as it stands. I know it's a small sample size than Aaron Judge. I mean, he's literally tearing the fucking cover off the ball. I mean, a 1.247 OPS, a 249 OPS plus. This is obviously not going to be sustained. This is better than the Gleyber that we saw when he hit 37 home runs in the juice ball era. But, I mean, if you look at his baseball savant, I mean, it looks crazy. This is the Gleyber that was advertised. I know we're 10 games in, but everything is in the 97th percentile. But the biggest thing for me, that what I'm looking at here, and I hope continues, and I wonder what you guys think on this, is that his strikeout percentage and walk percentage are 97th percentile and 99th percentile, respectively, walks being the 99th percentile. That, to me, and whiff percentage is the 80th percentile, and that's crazy to me, because I got a couple stats that I heard somewhere, but it's just like things that he's doing are just, it's just so, it makes me think it's possible to continue, because the quality of what he's doing can't really be like this is stuff that can only happen if you're actually, you can't luck into this kind of thing. So it's just, his eye seems to be better. I mean, the strikeout percentage and the walk percentage being up is amazing. He's only whiffed on two strike pitches this entire season. He actually hasn't popped up a single ball. So that's kind of crazy. He's going oppo a lot more. His sweet spot percentage is 44% compared to the MLB's 33%. And he's just making more contact. Like I said, where he ranks 99th and 97th percentile in strikeout and walk percentage. But in terms of whiff percentage, it's only 19 versus 27 last year. And he has 9 walks in 9 games. Last year, he didn't get his 9th walk until his 49th game. So it's just like, he seems like a different player in the box right now. And it's just, it seems a lot more just like quality at bats and quality eye and that kind of thing. Obviously the power is up, and not to mention the stolen bases. He has 5 stolen bases and he had 10 all of last year. So all of those things, he's just a very complete player right now, and I hope it continues. But I don't expect it to stay to this caliber.
So, not to be the bearer of bad news, as of 6 minutes ago, Aaron Boone says Gleyber Torres will not play tomorrow after feeling groin tightness and leaving the game in the ninth.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, none of that changes, obviously, but I'll hope for the best. I hope it's just maintenance, which I shouldn't use the word maintenance 10 games into the season, but that would suck. But let's assume he's fine.
Let's continue the conversation that he's fine. Yeah, let's continue. Let's forget about that, and let's just, you know.
Should have just mentioned that after the episode. Healthy.
Okay, so pretending I didn't read that, Gleyber Torres is one of, I mean, it's hard to say he's the most important player on this team because you have guys like Aaron Judge, you have guys like Giancarlo Stanton, but Gleyber Torres, that healthy, like good, bordering star that he was in 2018-19 and what he's shown to this point this year, is such a breath of fresh air to put in that five spot in a fully healthy, like in a do or die playoff game. You've got Gleyber Torres in the five spot backing up Judge, Rizzo, and Stanton. Incredible. That is an incredible five bat on the days that DJ's off and he's batting leadoff. Like, we've always been, at least on this show, proponents of him batting leadoff. He's done a great job at it. Like, when he's hitting like this, it adds a whole new element to the Yankees. When he is right, it's not just another player that's doing well. Like, it's expected out of Judge. It's expected out of Stanton that these are these big bats. It's basically like just bringing in another star caliber player that when he's off, like in 2020 and 2021, like you feel that presence. Like, you feel that giant hole in the lineup because you don't have that true five-hole hitter. You don't have somebody that's a threat behind all of our big guys. When you have a right Gleyber Torres, you have that. And it completely changes this lineup. Completely changes it. More so than... I hate to compare it to Judge because Aaron Judge is otherworldly. He is arguably the best player in baseball, but like Gleyber Torres completely changes the dynamic of this lineup when he's healthy and playing well.
And having him in that five hole, is that's an important spot. Obviously, you need the one through four, but he's... he's one of the better five hole players. I mean, if he keeps playing like this, he's probably one of the best five hole hitters. I'd rather have him there than previously we had Donaldson there. So he's, when you talk about X factors, this is definitely an X factor. When Glaber's going good, the team is going good. Cause you know, you can count on the guys like Judge, like Stanton to have theirs. I know Stanton will be streaky, but you can count on those guys. Rizzo's very consistent and quietly having an awesome year. And obviously, the DJs of the world, there's consistency there. And Gleyber, if he can find some of that consistency, this team is going to go a very long way. And that's one other point that I wanted to make is, you know, not mentioned on this Hot or Not is the Rizzos of the world and, you know, the Stantons who are crushing home runs. Like, the big thing for me is that outside, even with Bader gone and like the starters and the stars are performing very, very well, if not otherworldly. And that's very awesome for me to see. And then you got guys like Franchi Cordero that you sprinkle in and are doing their jobs in the stead of a guy like, you know, Bader coming in the waiting in the wing. So the thing that I'm also noticing, which we'll get to in a moment, is, you know, the younger guys, Volpes of the world, are not playing all that well, but the veterans that you expect to do big things are doing big things. And I really like seeing that.
Can we take a second to give Giancarlo Stanton his due? Like, I'm surprised he didn't make the hot list, but he's off to a torrid start to the year. Yeah. This is what we need out of Giancarlo Stanton. I know we were talking about it a lot leading up to the season, where his position in the top 100, was it justified? Was it not? You know, a lot of people get pissed off about his contract. Giancarlo Stanton, and I will take this to my grave, I said it before, I'll say again, his contract for what he does on this team is an absolute steal. He's been a fantastic Yankee. You won't find a guy outside, not named Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton, that's that accountable for what they do, handles the media well, everything. And again, it's kind of quiet because you expect it out of him. He just goes about his business. But, I mean, he's off to a 278, 316, 583 start. He's already got, what has he got, three home runs already. I mean, all of his stat, baseball savant metrics are exactly what you'd expect.
Not striking out a he's ton, actually, though, so that's what I wouldn't
no,
expect.
No, he's in the 87th percentile in strikeouts, yeah. But... I mean, the rest are all exactly where you'd expect. Max exit velo, 100th percentile, shit like that. It's just, it's so awesome, and he's so underappreciated. Like, I just wanted to give him his couple minutes of fame on our show here, because by the time he retires, I do think he'll be a fringe Hall of Famer. If he gets to 500 home runs, which I think he will, I think he'll probably be a Hall of Famer, and he'll go into the Hall of Fame as a Yankee, and people, like, people forget that. People trash this guy. He's so fucking good year after year. Like, and I get that he has frustrating moments. He hit into that double play to end the game early in the season. It's shit like that that people really just take home and, like, they just bear down on it for weeks at a time. Giancarlo Stanton's fucking awesome. Like, just, we talked about it last year. Like, you just need to accept him for what he is. He's not going to win another MVP. Probably, because he doesn't play enough in the field. He's probably going to get hurt every year. We're hoping for 130 to 140 games. That's a good year for Giancarlo Stanton injury-wise. Like, but outside of that, he's good for 30 to 40 home runs a year. He's going to hit 250-plus most of the time. Like, he is a very, very good baseball player. And one last stat, and I'll pass it off. I don't know if you guys saw this. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. In the StatCast era, Giancarlo Stanton is 125, 126 as of yesterday. Batted balls tracked at 116 plus. The next closest is Aaron Judge with 39.
That's wild.
It's absurd.
Expected, but still wild. I mean, that's just crazy. And the reason I didn't put him on that list is because if you just pick any of those superstars, like I mentioned, and they're off to the starts that you expected, if not better than we expected. And that's awesome to see, because when you get some of the other guys back, then you have a very complete lineup and you see less of Aaron Hicks and less of IKF. So love to see it. I mean, insert DJ, insert Rizzo more than DJ, but like it's really nice to see the stars getting off to a hot start. It's definitely better than the alternative. Do you want to get into the not list?
Sure.
Just two guys. I mean, we've been off to a pretty hot start, so I mean, you can add in some other knots if you feel so inclined. But
Hicks, IKF.
Yeah, I mean those. But here's the thing: the reason why we do this segment is not to point out and state the obvious, like we mentioned before. We want to talk about the elephants in the room, the controversial guys that you didn't expect to be there, or you expected to be there, and you want to either send them to the sun, like that's something that we do here, but Without further ado, Chandler, Anthony Volpe is the first on the hot list. You probably expected to see this or didn't expect to see it before the season, but expected now that you've seen a little bit of him to make this list, because we expected definitely more out of him, or maybe you didn't. I don't know. But slash line 129 batting average, 250 on base, 194 slug, good for a 573 OPS, a 33% strikeout percentage, a 32 OPS plus, and three stolen bases. What do you think? You buying or selling this?
No, I'm selling it. Give him time. I'll get into it a little more when we're done. But basically, he's been a slow starter at every level. And you got to remember, this kid's making a jump from basically, he's got a handful of games in AAA, but he's basically making a jump from AA to the majors. Tack that on with his adjustment period that he's had at every level so far. I think it's as expected. I'm not ready to press the panic button or even consider it for at least a couple months. Like it for me to be concerned and sit here and buy this, it would have to be this line in June, July.
I was gonna say June, like, yeah,
June, July with zero improvement. Like if he's steadily improving, I think that just, you know, it's again a testament to that he's young and learning. But I mean, look at the guys that, you know what? I'm just going to keep going on Anthony Volpe.
Keep going. We only have two on this list. I was about to say continue, because we'll just might as well beat this to a dead horse, have the whole conversation, and move on to the next guy.
Yeah. I mean, you look at guys like Adley Rutschman and Rodriguez from the Mariners. Julio Rodriguez from the Mariners. And like these guys, look at the stats. They started like 2 for 28 and shit like that. Now look at Adley. He's one of the best players in the American League, tearing the cover off the ball.
He's got a sweet swing. That home run he hit the other night. He's awesome.
From left and right side. He's a switch hitter that's a beast. He's a damn good catcher. Like, he's a pretty fun pick at decent odds for AL MVP. Like, he's that kind of player. He started off just as bad. It's stuff like that. Like, it's the nature of the beast with Yankee fans and Yankees in general. Everything's going to be magnified because of the stage you're on and how much everybody hates the Yankees and how much of assholes Yankees fans are in general. But I'm not even remotely worried. Like, here's the stat I was talking about. 2021, low and high A ball, April and May, 239 batting average, 796 OPS. June through September, 309 and a 1.1. 2022, double A, triple A, April, May, 203, 684 OPS, June through September, 268, 853. It's how he's gone about his entire career. I remember us sitting here on the show last year when he started out in double A and he was ice cold after the historic shortstop class. And we're like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, Anthony Volpe may be a little more raw than we think. He's going to take a few more years. And then we look down and it's August and we're like, holy shit, this guy's doing unprecedented things in the minors. He's got 50 stolen bases and 20 home runs. It's like him and one other player in the history of baseball to have this stat line. Like, I do think he's going to take some more time. I don't think it's going to be overnight. Like, when you're listening to this episode, or maybe somebody listens to this to a month from now, I don't think he's going to be just in another world by then. I think it's going to take time. I think he's going to gradually get used to it. He's going to gradually adjust. It's not just going to be, you know, a switch flips and then all is well. I mean, give the kid time. He's what, 22, 21 years old? Like,
yep.
It's an adjustment period. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Totally fine. Come talk to me in July. And if he's still hitting with these numbers in July, then maybe he needs some more seasoning. But there is my panic meter. I know we have done that in the past. If you want to do a panic meter, my panic meter is at 1.5.
Yeah. I'm around there too. Everything you said, retweet. Just obviously thought to bring it up. I mean, the things that are,
you have to bring it up because he was this, like, the most highly touted person since Derek Jeter, more so than Aaron Judge. Like, we have to talk about it or else we're doing a disservice to the show.
We're more so checking in on his progression. And it's starting out exactly, probably, honestly, we had high hopes for him coming in here. We wanted him to do really well. We wanted him to just tear the cover off the ball out of the gate. The expectation was probably more of this. And my hope is, and it seemed that way because tonight was the first off day, if I'm not mistaken, that Volpe's had. My hope is that the Yankees will just stick with him and run him out there at shortstop every single night. And they are, other than tonight, which everybody else is getting scheduled off days. And he's probably the first or the last to get an off day. So I don't think he got that day because he was struggling. And one thing I will say, too, I said this at the beginning after the first week, is that he looks awesome when he is on the bases. He looks really good. And that's a breath of fresh air that we don't have outside of Bader on this team when he's back. So it's amazing to have a guy like that on the bases. Hope he gets on base more often. But he's playing a damn good shortstop as well. People aren't talking about that. I mean, outs above average. I mean, maybe people are talking about that, but you know, you focus a lot on the offensive side, but 88th percentile in outs above average, and he's walking a ton too. So those kind of things are the kind of things that you are less streaky. And if he's consistent in that respect, then I'm very happy. I mean, 2/3 of the game is like, he's not going to be very streaky in his eye. You can't teach that, and the way he plays the field. So I expect the hitting and the offense to come up as he gets used to the level that he's at, like you said, Chandler. So,
I will say his at-bats, the quality of his at-bats are improving. Like, he doesn't just look totally lost up there. Some at-bats, they're rough. But, like, yesterday he hit two balls on the nose. He hit a triple the other day that would have been a home run in 8 stadiums. He smoked a ball to right field yesterday. Like, he's doing a lot of the right things. I'm not a baseball coach, but if he sticks to what he's doing, I have every reason to believe that those are going to start falling. He's going to start having a few things click. You know, give the guy a couple lucky breaks, a couple bounces that go his way, and then, you know, just keep adjusting. I don't see any reason why we're not looking at this. You know, he could still very much in the next 2 months just turn around and be the rookie of the year favorite, like, in a blink of an eye. He's that kind of talent that I'm just so not worried about it.
So next and last on the not list is Clark Schmidt. He had two starts, 6.2 innings pitched, which obviously that's not a big sample size, but I bring it up to show you the length that he's been going in those two starts. Average, if you're a mathematician, that's 3.1 innings per start. 9.45 ERA, which isn't really relevant because of the small sample size, but that's what we have. 62.5 percentage left on base percentage, letting in a lot of runs under pressure, and a 6.7 FIP. So the ERA is maybe a slightly inflated, but that's to what he's pitching to. But if you look at the sabermetrics, nothing looks good outside of the fastball spin, which we know he's got a lot of spin, and the cutter. Batters, we were talking about the cutter being implemented, really excited about it. Nobody could touch it. People are hitting 500 against it right now. So are you worried?
Yeah. I am afraid he might not be a starter. I mean, it's too soon to pull the plug, but this was your chance. And
only two starts. It's only two starts.
It's two starts, and all of our pitchers are still dead. So he has time, and it's not like Domingo's separating himself from the pack. Domingo's not going out there and just, you know, shoving it. Like, he has looked pretty bad for the most part. There's still plenty of time. I am worried, though. Like, I could make excuses for Clark Schmidt in every season before this because I like him, and I've always been a big Clark Schmidt fan. I have always thought he's going to be a dominant mid to top rotation arm, 2-3 starter, like a dominant 3, good 2. And like I said, I've always kind of had his back, but like, there's no excuses this year. You developed a new pitch that we're looking at the spin rate. You look at his cutter. I think it was compared to Sandy Alcantara
and Corbin Burns,
Corbin Burns that we were looking at in spring training. And it was, you know, the spin rates were similar and everything. You're coming in here with no injuries, nobody hunting you down for your position. It's yours to take. Like, you at this point, fuck, he started game 2 of the season. So he really has nobody breathing down his neck. There's no threat, and he still can't produce, like, even a little bit. There's not even really a bright spot. You can't even look at him and be like, well, he's had a few unlucky, but he's been bad. He's been really, really bad. And I just don't know. I'm scared that this might be the real Clark Schmidt. Like, maybe he is just a long relief, like an average innings eater reliever. And if he is, so be it. It's a huge disappointment, but there is value to that. Not much, but there is.
But yeah, I don't want to overreact.
It's too soon.
I know. I don't want to overreact to this two starts, but, you know, you can a little bit because he needed to have it. Like, he needed to come out guns blazing. You know, we were talking about him, if all healthy, would he have won the 5-starter spot? I think probably out of camp. He looked really good out of camp. Spring training isn't everything, but he looked good. So I think he probably would have won that 5-starter spot over Domingo. And now he kind of, you know, through injuries, lucked into a three starter role until, you know, the clock strikes midnight, Severino and Rodon come back. I don't know if right now he's done enough to stay in the rotation as the 5-starter. I think him coming out here has done more harm than good to him, other than, you know, when you compare back to what he did in spring training. So you don't want to overreact to the first two starts, but you got people that are waiting in the wings coming back soon. And Domingo, I think, has done enough at the major league level to show that he should be the guy over him. Am I wrong in saying that?
No.
I mean, you could look towards the potential and be like, yeah, I like what Clark Schmidt has. We know the ceiling of Domingo. We know what we're going to get at the high end. A guy who might...
Yeah, but after a few more starts. One night
and then fucking throw a 9-8 inning perfect game in the game. They end up losing that game. I remember that game like it's yesterday against the Red Sox. But
like after a few more starts, and if Clark Schmidt continues to have poor outings, it stops becoming this guy's potential to this guy just can't start. Like he's had enough opportunity, or he will have head the threshold of having enough opportunity to where he, again, like what Chandler said, he might just not be a starter. And it's a very real situation. And if we're talking about him versus Herman or anyone else, I don't know. It's going to be a close call in terms of like what we're more confident in.
And one thing, one more thing.
Johnny Brito over.
Yeah,
of course. I might. I mean, that's a very early. He had one great start. I mean, you could say the same about like Louis Medina, that kind of thing. I think those two are very similar in that sense. Like they have shown that they can dominate on the major league level, albeit for a small sample size. But, you know, I don't know, man. I lost my train of thought. But I don't think. I don't know if there's not enough to write him off as an MLB pitcher, but I just don't know that he's going to have the opportunity again. We talk about opportunities. He had one here. I mean, on another team, yeah, he could be a major league pitcher in the rotation, but the Yankees have we talked about it before. It's probably the top, if not one of the top staffs in baseball when all healthy. Severino, Cole, Rodon, Nestor. I mean, it's tough. And when you have a loaded rotation like that, there's not a lot of margin for error. And when you come out like this, it's not really doesn't really bode well for you.
Dude, 74% hard hit percentage? That's absurd.
I mean, you look at the sabermetrics outside of that too. Like average exit velocity, he's the first percentile. Hard hit percentage, like you mentioned, first percentile, which is not good. People are barreling him up. His expected stuff is not great. He's supposed to be a strikeout pitcher. He's middle of the pack there. 31st percentile and chase rate. Like it's not great. Again, this is early, but I don't know if he's going to have enough opportunity after this. Hopefully, next time he goes out there, he absolutely shoves and shuts me up. But, I mean, I'm not wrong for saying it. I'm reacting to the sample size that I've been dealt so far, and it's just the truth. I like Clark Schmidt. I hope he ends up being the five-star, but I think that's his peak of the year, being the five-starter. That's his ceiling.
The two innings he threw that were pretty good.
Oh no, I'm saying like that, but the highest point Clark Schmidt will get to is the five-starter on the Yankees, and that's pretty damn cool. So, congrats, Clark.
Yeah. Oh, one thing before we wind down, can we stop benching Oswaldo Cabrera every other game? I mean, fucking Christ. What more do you need from him to prove he's the everyday left fielder, especially with all the injuries right now? Like, fucking, it makes me so mad. He came out there today. He had another great game. He scored on a single that I don't know how the fuck he scored. He was cooking around third. Amazing slide. Whatever, but he's playing the positions well. He's hitting. The bat's coming alive. He's not like tearing the cover off the ball, but it's coming alive. Like, why will you not give him consistent playing time? I cannot understand it. And you look at his interview today with Meredith. He's the perfect teammate. He's a great guy. I don't know if you guys saw that, but basically, Meredith asked him what his favorite position was, and he's just smiling, laughing. Like, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera at this point, he's just a happy dude. He's like, I always say my favorite position is where Booney wants me that day. Like he's awesome. He's such an awesome player to see. Like, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite Yankees. I would say he's probably already up there towards the top for me. All right. Obviously not one or two. You know, there's the clear cut spots for that, but like, I really, really enjoy watching him play. He's a breath of fresh air to this lineup. He's, you know what? Perfect example. We sat here a year, 2 years ago. I don't know. But it's been a consistent problem, so it stays the same, that the Yankees don't have a guy. Like, we have Aaron Judge, who's awesome. But you look at the Braves. They've got Ronald Acuna, who's flashy, and he does all these crazy things. Oswaldo is our guy that's super, like, in your face. He's just so exciting to watch. And I am by no means talking poorly about Aaron Judge. I love that man. He is just the best baseball player ever. I love him, whatever. Oswaldo's this just whole new dynamic of exciting, flashy. He does all these little things. He's scoring on, you know, scorchers to right field from second. Like, he's always smiling, bouncing around. He plays short. He plays left field. He's just, he's so exciting to watch and such a breath of fresh air on a team that's so businesslike in every other facet.
I mean, he's started seven out of 10.
Yeah, but every time he gets hot, it's just like bench.
Seven out of ten is a lot of games. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate. He is starting a lot, and
I mean, right now he's sitting every third game.
I would like him to be out there every day, yes, but 7 out of 10 is still.
But I mean, that's still a platoon player. Like, he's sitting every third game. Like, put that over a season.
And if it's 7 out of 10 as well with Bader coming back, it's only going to get worse from there.
I think he needs to be an everyday player.
I agree.
That has him at 113 games played if he keeps this up over the entire season. And that's, to me, that's not enough.
I know. I just think they don't see it that way yet. I think he's going to be a platoon player. And that's unfortunate because I would like him to be getting, I talk about that a lot. I want him to get the consistent at bats so that he can progress. I just don't know that they're going to do that. I mean, I look at the sabermetrics too. Like, he hasn't really done it with the stick right now. He's in not great territory. He's in, he's in Clark Schmidt territory on the offensive side right now. In a lot of blue out there. First percentile in barrel, in expected batting average, expected wOBA, expected slug. So I don't read too much into the expected stuff, but, you know. 596 OPS. I'm done reading stats for today because it's a small sample size. But I think the main thing on Oswaldo is he has started 7 out of 10, and I think that's exactly what the Yankees want to do with him. I know what you're saying, and I know what I want. I know what Damon probably wants. We want the young guys to get consistent playing time, but that's just going to be the nature of the beast. It's only going to get worse from here with Bader coming back too, which I say worse loosely because I want Bader to play a lot, but it's for Oswaldo in terms of getting consistent run out there. I don't expect him to be the everyday left fielder.
I mean, he won the everyday left field job out of camp, so I just don't understand how they told him he did. So that's what I'm saying. Like, don't tell us that he won the left field job.
Yeah.
And then
I guess this is their version of winning.
And then do everything that he was asked to do and then bench him. Like, that's where it gets frustrating. He's done nothing that has caused him to be benched or not.
Yeah, it's not like
playing time.
It's not like he's off to just the worst start ever offensively either. Like, he's getting hits. He's getting on base. And I don't get it. And I think even with Bader back, there's room for him. Like, Oswaldo in left, Bader in center, Judge in right.
Yeah. I would like that.
That should be, like, if you go into a playoff series with Bader healthy, assuming, and everybody healthy, that should be your outfield. As things sit today on April 11th, that should be your outfield.
Agreed. All right, I think that is it from us. If you're going to a game in the upcoming homestand, I know I will be. I'm actually going to be there on Saturday. I'm not going to be using the ticket code that we have because I've used it already before. But if you are fortunate enough to not have used TickPick before, use code 161 to get $10 off of your tickets and enjoy no fees on top of that as well. And go get yourself some athletic greens and make yourself as great at golf and at life as Damon. So that's code 161, athleticgreens.com/161. See you guys later.